The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for the second hour of the Jimmy Sengenberger Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Great to have you along for the ride today. Again, my thanks to the Ron brothers, sax player Darren Ron and trumpeter Jason Ron, both incredible. What a great time having them on in the last hour when we debuted their single. Make it a hit on all the platforms. Go stream it now. Go download it. Double down. Once again, you're listening to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, and we are going to continue conversations with the candidates for a race that isn't up on the ballot until November, but it is very important to have this discussion at this point, I think, in time, when it comes to Denver Public Schools and what is happening on the board, and especially vis-a-vis the duly elected vice president, Tay Anderson, who, without a doubt, has got to go. Last week, we interviewed one candidate running for the at-large position in the school board, Paul Ballinger. And this morning, I am very pleased to welcome back in studio, he's running to unseat Tay Anderson, Kwame Spearman, the former CEO of Tattered Cover, joins us now. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Jimmy, great to be on. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you back. As always, good to talk with you. And last time that we had spoken, you were running for mayor. Of course, the mayor of Denver election, the runoff is this coming Tuesday. We're not having you here, though, for that discussion. You had withdrawn yourself from the race back, I think, a couple days after ballots went out. And now you're running for Denver School Board. And let's just cut right to it. Remind us, who is Kwame Spearman and why run for the school board in this at-large position?
Sure. So first, Kwame Spearman is a Kelly Brof supporter. And so if you have not voted yet, and if I can convince you to vote for Kelly Brof, shoot me an email. The election, Jimmy, as you noted, is this Tuesday. Kwame Spearman, though, is a proud Denver native, and I'm someone that, you know, wants to do everything I can to improve my home, right? This is where I'm from. It's who I am. And I think, as I said during the mayor's race, Denver's at a crossroads, right? We've got some really key issues that we've got an opportunity to either lead on or we can fall behind. And I think education is one of those biggest issues, Jimmy. One of the things that we've seen over the past year is that I think our core of public schools, particularly in Denver, they're shaken. We saw what happened at East High School. We see what's been happening with gun violence across the metro area and, quite frankly, across the country. And we've got an opportunity to do some things and put together a board that can work coherently and can actually focus on student outcomes. And I'm that person. I grew up in Denver Public Schools. My mom was a teacher. She was a principal. She was an assistant superintendent. I myself am a graduate of Denver Public Schools. And I think now's the time to give back and to actually focus on the next generation of our students.
So what do you bring to the table that's unique? And especially when you're talking about getting the board working together and so forth, we have rampant dysfunction. How can you help to mend that?
So let's be clear. The Denver Public School budget is about $1.6 billion. If you are looking at your property taxes and you live in the city and county of Denver and you're seeing a dramatic increase, I know I saw that with my home, but 65% of that is going to Denver Public Schools. We've got 205 schools in the district. We've got about 90,000 students who are in the district. This is a huge operation. And I think it's something that in the past, you know, people have sort of said, hey, you know, we've got a school board, not totally sure what they do, but the trains are running on time and I'm happy to support it. We need pragmatic leaders who are focused solely on student outcome, who are willing to work with people around them, who can get ourselves to a situation in which we're having positive progress with our academics. And it's not totally to say that we don't have that right now, but I do believe that there are personalities, there are people on the board, quite frankly, the person who I'm running against, who prioritize tweets, social media, maybe gotcha moments over students. And quite frankly, that's got to change because we're coming out of a pandemic. We're in a situation where we're going to have a budget crisis within the city and county of Denver. And we've got to have people on the board who are thinking professionally, who are focused on our students, and who have the experience to make really tough decisions for our district.
We'll get to student outcomes. I appreciate you saying focus solely on student outcomes because that's something I think that's getting so lost in this dysfunction. We'll spend a chunk of time on that. We'll get to school safety as well in a moment. But you alluded to Tay Anderson, Ayante Anderson, who is running for reelection on the board in this at-large position. And I would certainly agree with the tweets that you have referenced, but I think that if you look at the dysfunction, you can find that he is the primary purveyor of dysfunction on the board. But why vie against Tay Anderson? Why does he need to go? What are your thoughts on the incumbent?
So one of the things that I think we've lost generally from a political perspective is this notion that we are not supposed to be in total agreement on every single issue. Right? Like, you know, Jimmy, if you and I, it's very early in the morning, but if we had a glass of wine and we were talking about life, we are supposed to disagree. Mm-hmm. The point is the manner in which we disagree and how we disagree. And that's my critique of Tay, right? Is that you have to treat your colleagues in a professional manner. You have to be comfortable with the notion that not everyone is going to walk in the room and feel exactly the same way that you do. And if they do disagree with you, it's not because they have negative intent. It's because they either have different life experiences or different beliefs in a process, and that's okay. And we need a board that reflects that. I mean, we're dealing with extremely tough issues. If we had solved educational problems, I mean, we would live in a utopia, and we haven't. And so what you need is our board is a group of seven people, and they've got to come together. Jimmy, we spent $50,000 on mediators. Because you have seven individuals who can't be in a situation where they're talking to each other civilly.
Right.
And we've got to change that. We've got to have a new brand of leadership. And I think personally, I'm that person. I love understanding, hearing, and listening to people who feel differently than I am, or who feel differently than I do on issues. And I think if we can get to a point where we've got seven individuals in that space who say, hey, we may not always agree, but we are here to focus on student outcomes. We're here to support our teachers, and we're here to have the best school district in the nation. I think we can move forward.
Kwame Spearman joining us here in studio, running for the Denver Public Schools Board of Education. The election isn't until November, but the discussion is already underway. So I have written a lot, especially recently, about the Denver Public Schools Board. And one of those key issues isn't just the dysfunction. We may come back to that in some context. But you've got school safety. And I was watching on Thursday. It was a work session. I don't know if you caught it.
I did.
They spent well over an hour hashing out this issue of school resource officers, where they had two proposals on the table and they ended up in some divergent direction. And I was trying to figure out what the heck was going on. What did they decide? What are their next steps? And the next steps, as I understand it, were that there were no next steps. There was nothing that was accomplished. If you were on the board and you were championing some things regarding school safety, what would those be? What do you think needs to be done when it comes to protecting, keeping students safe?
Yes. Yeah, so Jimmy, here's a broad point, and I'm not a doctor, so if I screw up this example, please give me some leeway. But it's almost the equivalent where, let's say you go to your radiologist and you've got lung cancer, and it's an aggressive form of lung cancer. You need to figure it out. But your radiologist gives you a chemotherapy treatment that ruins your entire body. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing right now. No one is going to disagree that there are some systemic issues that not only plague our public schools, but plague our society. But what we've done, particularly over the past 2 years, is we've made such a push to figure out that issue that we are challenging the entire educational experience. Mm-hmm. The reality of the situation is that you've got to have clear standards for every school that ensure that our students, our teachers, and quite frankly, for our parents, that there's a level of safety in the building. And so to me, what that looks like is you need someone who is not a dean, someone who is not a teacher, whose role is to understand that there may be things occurring in the building that are not the best for students from a safety perspective, and that's their task to do it. That's got to be a minimum standard. And what you're seeing right now is there is this weird back and forth from the superintendent, from the board, where no one wants to just say this out loud. And where I'm incredibly concerned is that we've got to make our teachers, we've got to make our families feel safe in their schools. Because quite frankly, if you don't feel safe, they're not going to be the educational outcomes that you want to achieve. So there's a possibility to understand that in some areas in Denver, the relationship with police officers is not ideal. And maybe you start transitioning or moving towards more of a community type of a feel. And that's something I talked about during the mayor's race, is that, you know, community, community policing could be an answer. But what concerns me is that we've got to have a standard and we've got to have a plan. And once we have those two things, there's a little bit of autonomy that each individual school can have that gets to a level of safety.
There's feeling safe and there's also being safe. And correct. Right now, both things are lacking.
I would agree.
Feeling safe is having a very wide impact because students all over the place are certainly not feeling safe. And we see many more guns that are on campuses. And you see a lot of these things that can be intimidating and create that kind of environment. But then there's also the being safe. And both of those things are, in many respects, just as important, but also being safe really is the paramount, because if you're not actually safe, then you can't learn effectively. So with that in mind, Kwame Spearman, let's talk about school resource officers. You were touching on it just a little bit. Thursday, we couldn't really see any, it seems like there's no real agreement on the board on how to proceed regarding SROs. Shouldn't be a surprise. But what is your take on bringing them back?
We have got to have someone in each school that our administrators, our teachers feel like is there for safety. You know, let's go back to the situation at East High School. I am a graduate of East High School, and so that's something incredibly personal to me. What you saw in that incident in which two deans were shot is that there was a dean who was conducting a pat-down who was not there for school safety. Mm-hmm. If you look at Kurt Dennis at McAuliffe Middle School, similar situation where what was being asked of the administration, what was ultimately being asked of teachers, was to act in a safety capacity. That's not their jobs. We ask so much of our administrators. We ask so much of our teachers. To add another layer from a safety perspective, in my opinion, is too much. So, Jimmy, you've got to have people in the building who are focused on school safety.
Right.
I think where we spend, unfortunately, too much of our time talking about is who those individuals are. I think it's entirely possible to have individuals who feel like they are members of the community, who feel like, quite frankly, they're members of the school, and are there not just to prevent violence, but who are there to support students. And the fact that we made the move to remove those individuals outside of our school without any plan to protect our students, to protect our teachers, is absolutely insane. And it's unfortunate to me that that isn't clear to the superintendent or the board right now.
So one thing they do have at schools, they have very well trained DPS safety officers who are not just, and I talked with folks there who are like, please always stress that we are trained. We are not just your mall cops. We have trained folks that are doing their job, but they tell me that extra, if you want to call it an extra layer, you want to call it whatever, of school resource officers, armed officers, will make a big difference, especially as a deterrent when it comes to guns, but also other aspects of behavior and so forth. And it's not about having police there that are going to be giving tickets so they can enforce discipline, but having them there so that you can address these more serious issues that can come up that right now they're cut out of that process the way things are. They're not present. They're not setting that sort of example that you can get when you have somebody who you know is there to encourage and to advance discipline, a disciplined environment, let's say. But the safety piece of having law enforcement there when it comes to firearms, coming onto campuses, to me, is absolutely critical. I'm a huge advocate for returning SROs district-wide. You can make it a little bit more school-by-school basis and have the superintendent make those decisions. But where are you specifically on SROs, armed SROs, back in school?
You know, for me, specifically, I feel the same way that I do about society, right? This notion, it goes back to my cancer example, that we are trying to have an educational system that is devoid of all of the systemic issues that we face in our society. I think it's an admirable goal. But when you put yourself in a situation in which you are ruining the entire educational experience for an entire district for a specific issue, that's not the right answer. And so I, like many, are going to be involved in the conversation. You know, you had a candidate on last week as a part of the PSAG group, which is the parent support advocacy group that came out of the East High shooting. I thought their recommendations were incredibly smart, right? This notion of how do you have a clear matrix for students who may not be in a position in which they should be in a traditional, and I was doing quotation marks right there, in a traditional school environment. You know, how do you give the support and the resources needed to a school to be successful? So once again, I think where I don't want to be is a situation where we are making definitive statements. Every single school has to have SROs. Every single school shouldn't have SROs. But an understanding that there needs to be people in the building who are focused on ensuring the safety of the building. And those people should not be administrators. Mm-hmm. Those people should not be our teachers. And let's start from that level, and let's understand.
But would you allow the superintendent to put SROs in maybe school by school? There's a proposal to do something along those lines where the superintendent gets to determine where, when, and for how long. However that is, of SROs, would you permit them to come back?
If the question is this a superintendent decision, I think the answer is 100% yes. Mm. And one of the things that I would say, quite frankly, I'm concerned with is that you're looking at like a weird dodgeball game where the superintendent and the board are throwing, you know, balls at one another saying, it's your call. I think it's a superintendent call. And there needs to be a framework in which we address this, mm-hmm. to where every parent can have the assurance that in the fall, when they send their kids back to school, that those schools are going to be safe.
And in that regard, with the back and forth, the district policy right now with this EL 1010, Executive Limitation 1010, bars school resource officers from being on campuses. They temporarily suspended that through June 30th. So that's where the question is, getting rid of that policy in some form or fashion so that you can allow the superintendent to make the decision, as I think you just said he should be able to.
And to be clear, I am not supportive of the ban. And there are two big reasons why I'm not supportive of the ban. First, I'm comfortable with SROs being on campus. I'm not going as far as to saying that should be a requirement. But the second point, which is equally important, is there's no plan, Jimmy. I mean, you can't remove officers who are part of a plan and not have a plan to supplement that. And I think that's the type of leadership the board needs right now, is someone to say, hey, I understand that we're having a conversation on a really difficult issue. And I'm saying that people have passionate feelings about this. But we can't abdicate the notion that we're just going to not have a plan here. right? We're going to be in a situation in which, yeah, we're going to take SROs out and then we're going to figure things out.
Yeah. In 2020, when they did that, they had nothing to replace.
And that's unacceptable.
And yeah, especially coming out of COVID. And then you've had all these discipline issues, which we'll touch on that coming up. And then getting to student outcomes and improving student outcomes. How do you do that from the board perspective? We're talking with Kwame Spearman, candidate at large for the Denver School Board. We'll keep it right here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show on News Talk 710 KNUS. With the best damn bumper music known to man, nearly 10 years running, it's the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. Buddy Guy and Travis Tritt, are they singing about Denver public schools and what's happening in Denver? Because that's the vibe that I'm getting here from the tune as we come back with Kwame Spearman, our guest. He's a candidate running to unseat Tay Anderson in the at-large position on the Denver School Board. I just want to ask you one more question relative to school safety and discipline, and then we'll move on to cover several other topics in our remaining time. There is this discipline matrix that came about in 2021, significantly weakening the ability for teachers, staff, administrators to enforce discipline in schools, and also the circumstances under which they can call law enforcement. I think that plus the SRO piece were an overcorrection from some genuine issues and concerns that have been going on in communities. But you, whether you're talking with principals or you're talking with teachers, they get extremely frustrated, not to mention parents, over what's happening regarding discipline that also ties directly into school safety. Your thoughts?
So I go back to the example I gave before where, you know, once again, I'm not a doctor, but I do believe systemic racism, discrimination, those are truths. And we've got to figure out ways to combat that. However, the solution of a treatment that kills the entire body is not the right answer. And if you look at a situation, you know, once again, my mom is, quite frankly, a public school teacher, principal, and administrator. And she's been with the district for, 37 years. And what she will tell you is that if you walk into a classroom and you observe a teacher, and let's say there are 25, 30 students in that building. Mm-hmm. the rain. And one student is acting in such a way that the teacher has to make a decision. Do you teach to that one student or do you teach to the other 29? Mm. To me, the answer is clear, because those other 29, if you don't teach to them the opportunities to learn, to progress, to live fulfilling lives, they're not going to get themselves. And I think that principle needs to be applied to the discipline matrix. Mm-hmm. No one is suggesting that the goal is to expel. No one is suggesting that the data is not favorable enough, particularly for black and brown students. But you've got to maintain an environment and a sense that schools are places for learning. Mm-hmm. And if people are not there to do that, you know, I look at what the Cherry Creek School District, but it's pretty plain. If you are not going to be a member of a school environment that's focused on learning, this may not be the place for you. And I think we've got to think critically about alternative learning environments. We've got to think critically about remote learning environments for students who may fall in that category. Because I walk in that classroom and I want to ensure that those 29 students are getting the best education they possibly can.
So in that case, it's have a discipline matrix that recognizes some of those concerns that you may have about how certain students, there's a case to be made by folks, certain students may be overly disciplined, certain groups of students. Recognize that, but recognize if you're overcorrecting for one or two students in a given class, then those other students are not able to learn, because if you're not enforcing discipline, then you can't have a circumstance of learning.
Couldn't agree more. And once again, let's focus on student outcomes. And what does the best for a proactive education?
And what does the best? What? How do you look? We've got 5% of black and brown third graders are proficient with reading in Denver public schools. That is absolutely dismal. How do you work to and empower teachers to improve those student outcomes, Kwame Spearman?
So the first thing you got to do, and I think there are two main points to this. The first is we've got to support our teachers. You know, once again, I am the son of a teacher. I still have so many positive relationships with teachers who taught me and made me the person who I am. And so I think we've got to embrace the narrative that our teachers are doing this for the right reasons. They need our support. It's an incredibly tough job. The second thing, Jimmy, that we've got to do, and this is what you would do in any business environment when you're hoping for objectivity, you've got to get stakeholders together to understand what success looks like. And it's sort of the same thing with the discipline matrix, where I've read the discipline matrix. I'm not a dumb person. It's incredibly complex. Yeah. and you feel like that's intentional, where we are trying to confuse, we are trying to perplex people to where they don't quite understand what's happening. So my point of view, and I think I would embrace this as a board member, is let's simplify. Well, let's have a very clear understanding. Once again, I go back to the Cherry Creek School District. Their discipline matrix isn't a matrix. It's a very clear set of rules that anyone who is sending their kid to the district can understand how to apply. I think it's the same thing with student outcomes. We've got to get stakeholders together, right? And that's parents, that's teachers, that's people who understand data, to understand if a school is providing requirements to its students. And the schools that are, we need to continue to embrace. We need to say, how do we do more of this? To the schools that aren't, we need to have a plan to where they can achieve, right? And to me, if we focus on outcomes, if we look at data, I think we'll be in a better place. You know, something that I think people don't want to talk about is a little bit contradictory to the data that you said. We did improve literature rates in the district over a 15-year span. We did increase the notion of graduation rates. I mean, Denver Public Schools, when I was graduating from high school, and I'm embarrassed to say this now, but it was like 2002, you know, we've increased graduation rates about 30% since then. And so how do we do that again? And it's by focusing, once again, on what students should be learning, giving students the opportunity to follow their passion, and having a district in which the goal is to produce graduates who can continue to live and produce in the city and county of Denver.
Kwame Spearman, our guest, he's running at large for the Denver Public Schools Board of Education. One of these things, if you're looking at a school and you have a parent who says, this school isn't working for my child, Denver Public Schools does have options with regards to school choice. They have innovation schools, they have charter schools, various options of different types. What are your thoughts on the issue of school choice and ensuring that parents have the ability to make the determination as to where their kids go to school?
To me, the issue is not school choice. I mean, over 50% of students in the district are involved in some form of school choice. And so parents are speaking loudly and clearly about that. And to be clear, there's nothing more precious than your child. So the fact that parents are using school choice, the fact that students are moving around the district is clear. I think it's been clear. We have to continue school choice. We have to have a robust school choice system. What we also got to do is we've got to ensure a few things. One, everyone has access to that school choice. So what are we doing from a transportation perspective to ensure that every student has access to the right schools for them? Secondly, what is our school portfolio looking like? Right? You know, I think once again, we spend too much time arguing over the macro notion of like, should we have charter schools? Should we have innovation zones? What percentage of district run schools should we have? And not enough time on what is working. And to be clear, data shows that, right? You know, you have schools in our system. A great example is a school like McAuliffe. So I went to Smiley, which was the name of the middle school that's now McAuliffe. McAuliffe has increased enrollment almost 10x since I was there. It's increased educational outcomes since I was there. Great. How do we have more McAuliffes across Denver? And let's just start with that. Let's not focus on, is that a charter school? Is it in an innovation zone? Is it a district-run school? Let's just focus on the fact that students who are going there are receiving a great education, and how do we emulate that throughout the district?
What is your vision for the school district? As a candidate running, wanting to be one of seven members on the board, what's your vision for the district, and especially when you get to that high school level where you're setting yourself up for the future, whatever that is?
You know, and I need to think of a better tagline for this, Jimmy, to be honest with you, which is why, you know, you have the summer to work on a campaign. But to me, it's a 100% graduation rate. I want to flip on its head this notion that the entire reason for high school is to go to college. Mm. I actually don't believe that. I think that is the answer for some. It was the answer for me, but not for all. The purpose of a school district, in my humble opinion, is to create an educational environment in which its graduates can be productive members and live in the city that they graduate from. Mm. And there are a lot of ways to do that. You know, I was at the DSST college graduation party, where basically every student who's in the DSST system in Denver goes to the Denver Coliseum, mm-hmm. and they get to walk on stage and say what they're doing after they graduate. But Jimmy, you know what was so awesome? The students who were going to the military, the students who were going to vocational schools, or the students who were doing things, they were investing in plumbing, that they were going to become nurses, those students were just as accepted as those who are going to college. I think that we can fundamentally put together a public school system in which people understand that there are options outside of higher education. And we're partnering with labor. We're partnering with institutions that give people the skill set to, when they graduate, they can make a living wage.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. So you said you graduated in 02. I graduated high school in 08. And back when we were in high school, it was just college, or the other option
college
might
bust.
Have been military, if anything. But it was really college or bust, which is how you had so many millennials that ended up going to college and taking out all this student loan debt and having significant amounts of a burden. And so I do think that along the lines of what you're saying, Kwame Spearman, there is a growing sense among folks across this state, across the city of Denver, across the country, that it shouldn't just be college or bust. 20 seconds.
I couldn't agree more. I think, once again, the standard should be, is the school district producing graduates mm-hmm. who can be functional and thriving members of its city? And that's the standard. We've got to get a policy and plan that gets us to that point.
Kwame Spearman joining us here in studio, at-large candidate for the Denver School Board, with the goal of unseating none other than Tay Anderson. This is the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. We're going to take a break. When we come back, a few more minutes with Kwame, as the hour is speeding by on 710 KNUS. Yes, indeed. In Denver public schools, there's got to be a change. Things just can't stay the same, especially with Tay Anderson being on that school board and one of the big sources of dysfunction. Johnny Lang bringing us back with a great, great tune. Kwame Spearman joining us here in studio. He's one of two candidates so far announced to unseat Tay Anderson as at-large school board member. It's not until November, but the discussion has already begun, and it is necessary to have this discussion. Kwame Spearman, we just got a few minutes left here. The time has been flying by. We'll definitely have more conversations. Folks have been texting in questions that I haven't been able to get to and won't, unfortunately, now, but we will have you back, and we'll continue the conversation on these issues. But I want to go back to one of the topics that we hit on in the beginning, which was the dysfunction of the leadership structure on the board. And we've seen that manifested in a few different ways. One of these has been the use of executive sessions to go behind closed doors one time for making policy temporarily on SROs, but they spent 5 minutes discussing. There was another time in December of last year where Scott Balderman voted no on going to executive session because he literally said, I don't know what we're going to be talking about. And then they spent 4 hours behind closed doors. Just briefly, talk to me about transparency and how important that is from a board of education like this.
It's everything. And I think that you've seen with the lawsuits that have been filed is that the board likely erred in such long executive sessions. And they shouldn't have done that. And, you know, what I think is ironic is, you know, you have members on the school board, like the one who I'm trying to unseat, who are claiming to be community advocates. And I can't think anything more hypocritical than going into a closed room, speaking for 5 hours immediately after the tragedy that happened at East and not telling people what you were talking about. You know, there's a reason why you're elected to the board and you should have transparency. And you should do the antithesis of that. You should involve the community in the discussion. And so obviously we've got to get back to that. I look forward to being a school board member who actually appreciates hearing what people in the district are looking for. Because, you know, Jimmy, there's nothing more personal than your children. And allowing individuals to speak their truth, to give their opinions, and to actually taking that feedback and not just tweeting about it, but using it to make policy, that's the role of a school board member.
What is your goal? Why fundamentally are you running at this moment?
You know, Jimmy, I got the best out of Denver Public Schools. You know, I went to elementary school, I went to middle school, I went to high school in Denver Public Schools. My mom was a teacher, and it allowed me to live an amazing life. You know, I was able to go to great schools. I was able to work in business. I was able to put together the resources to save tattered cover. And I am deeply concerned that we have individuals on the school board right now who are more focused on political grandstanding than student outcomes. And I think we need individuals who understand the impact that a strong school district can have on the city. Because it's not just if you have a student there. Once again, 65% of your property taxes are going to this budget. It's a $1.6 billion budget. Mm-hmm. And a strong school district creates a strong city. And I think we need pragmatic, reasonable people who want to work together to focus on student outcomes to run that board. And that's why I want to be a part of it.
A final word from you, Kwame Spearman. And also, where can people go to learn more about you and your campaign for at-large Denver School Board to unseat Tay Anderson?
You know, it's so funny. I need to get better with this. I'm not a first-time candidate anymore. My website is www.kwamekwame4denver.com. We already have policy up on our website. I think go read it. I think most people will appreciate it. And obviously, you know, the way that you make change is through activism, but it's also through contribution. So if you feel inspired by what we're doing, what we're saying, please help us give the resources to unseat Ayanti.
Kwame Spearman here in studio for the full hour. Really appreciate your time, and I'm looking forward to having you back again down the line.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. Look forward to being here.
Thank you, sir. Once again, Kwame Spearman. Kwame, what was that? Kwame for Denver?
KwameForDenver.com.
.com. You make it so difficult, don't you? KwameForDenver.com. Joining us here in studio, we're going to take a break. When we come back in the third hour, got a few things to talk about, including this interview. What are your thoughts on our conversation? I've got some texts I'll respond to, at least address some of the questions or issues that came up here in during the conversation. And also, are millennials turning rightward? The New York Times reports that yes, they are. I'll explain why that's the case and why it's not surprising to me. Keep it here. It's the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. Another hour up ahead on 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.